Okay, Reish Samach Dalid, Siv Gimel and Dalid. We're going to deal today with the three great Mila controversies that have taken place over the last few centuries. The Mitzitza controversy is known, but the other two are not as well known. Okay, let's learn Siv Gimel. Reish Samach Dalid, Siv Gimel. Okay, it will surprise most people that if you see a bris mila in the United States, you see a bris mila in Eretz Yisrael, they're performed differently. And I think the ordinary person would think, what's a mila? Mila's a mila. How are there two ways to do it? In fact, I was zeched to be a sandik in Eretz Yisrael three times. And all three times I was struck at the difference, not only in the mila, but even the medication that they use. The powder that they sprinkle there very liberally right after the mila, we have nothing like that. We use a gooey stuff, a jelly that's put on afterwards. And let's learn the sif today. We have a Mitzitza controversy that you know about, but before that there's a Priya controversy. Now let's learn the sif, and we'll learn the halachis as they're described here. Very differently, yeah. And I'll describe it. Let's learn first what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Ketzad Malin. How does one do a bris mila? Here are instructions. If you ever wanted to be a mayel, you have 10 lines of instruction and you'll know how to do it. Ketzad Malin. Chaytchin es ha'arla. We cut the arla. Kol ha'ar ha'chayfa ha'atara. The complete skin that surrounds the atara, we'll have to describe that. Achet tiskale ha'atara, until the atara is revealed. What is the atara? So the Tazches discusses this. That is the third controversy, which maybe we'll get to. But first, just read the words. So step number one is cutting off the yarla. That sounds to be the most uniform and simple part. After that, we do Priya. What is Priya? Poirin. What does it say? Poireya? It says Raishai. What is it? Priya Saraish or Prima Sarbagadim, right? Raishai Layifra, Bagadav Layifra. So a haircut is Layifra. So Yifra sounds like cutting away. Here is cut away. So Pirin es krum harach shalamata mehar. So the way this is described is as follows. Again, pretend you have a finger, and on the finger first you put on a very tight glove and then a very loose glove. So the loose glove is the ar ha'arla. The ar ha'arla is relatively loose on the mila. It's easy to lift it up off the aver, put in a guard, and cut off the arla itself appears to be relatively simple. After that, you will find underneath a thinner membrane, a thinner clear membrane, which is sort of like the tight glove on the finger. And that you need to, that is actually stuck to the aver. It adheres to the aver. And the way to separate it, as described here, is that the male takes his thumbnail. A male traditionally has a long thumbnail. And with the thumbnail, gently peels away, cuts away the second krum that we call the ar ha-priya. Harach, the sofo shalamata me'ar, that's under the arla, b'tzipayrim, with his fingernail.
From the top,
where's the male doing? From the edge, alongside the top. And he pushes it down on all sides, at sheyire basar ha'atara, until the atara is revealed. So that's step two, and we'll describe it shortly. V'achakach moitzitzin hamila. Now in Shulchan Aruch it says very clearly that one must do mitzitza to the mila, at sheyetzedam mehamakaymes arachaykim. It's very clear that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a powerful suction. It's not the Lashon HaGemara, it's Lashon HaRambam. The suction has to be enough to draw blood from a further point. And that's where the whole controversy is. What does it mean? You do it so that it should not come to a sakana. So again, we'll come back to the metzitza issue. We'll discuss that shortly. And any mayol that does not do mitzitza should be removed from his position as a mayol. Subsequently, you put on medication that helps it heal. You have to be very careful. The bandage that's put on should not have an edge which has threads protruding. You should turn the edge like a cuff outward. It happens occasionally that the healing wound catches on to some of the bandage. God forbid, you pull the bandage, you can open the wound again. So you have to be careful that there be no edges of the bandage against the wound. So the bandage is folded outwards. You see, the mailum, they prepare it ahead of time around, they wrap it around the mila. And that is the fourth step is the bandaging of the wound. That's really where you need an expert mail. When mailum, expert mailum get older and it's harder for them, it seems to me the harder part is the wrapping of the bandage. As opposed to the mila, the wrapping of the bandage has to be done tightly in a way that helps heal the wound. And that's sort of the fourth step. And Siftalit says, Mavalai Paraki Lulaimal. That if you don't do Priya, it's Ma'akiv. If you don't do Mitzitza, it's not Ma'akiv. It's Ma'akiv on Mitzitza, it's not Ma'akiv on the mila. But if you don't do Priya, Mavalai Para, Ki Lulaimal. So here, as I said, there were three controversies over the last centuries, and we'll go in the order. The first is the controversy over the Priya, and it's interesting that this the antagonists in this Machlaikis are a German Rav and an Hungarian Rav, and the German Rav is the one who says to do it the traditional way, and the Hungarian Rav is the one who says you can do it the new way, the opposite of what you would expect. The controversy involves the following. You cut off the arla. Okay, that's pretty uniform. Then, what's the mitzvah of Priya? We know that there's the second membrane, which has to be removed. Shulchan Aruch describes as rubbing with your fingernail and removing it that way. Is that dafka or lav dafka? Now let me explain the lamaisa of it, and then I'll get back to the lumdis. The lamaisa, I'm saying that a bris mila in the United States is typically done differently than the bris mila in Eretz Yisrael. And the difference is this. In Eretz Yisrael, they do it exactly the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. They cut off the arla, and then it takes time. You know, a good moil in the United States is one who makes the bracha and says, call the kibbutim. You know, like, no time in between, preferably little blood, little time, chick-chack, that's what everybody likes. You go to the bagels right away. That's a good meal. Eretz Yisrael takes time. Eretz Yisrael, they do the bris, the arla, and after the arla, it takes them a little bit of time to do the priya. First, they have to separate the membrane and then rip it. Rip it down and fold it back in a way that removes the Ar HaPriya. Now, it sounds easy. This is the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way they do it in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the second choice exactly? So the way it's typically done in the United States, and it's done this way in all yeshivish circles, certainly in modern Orthodox circles, and to my little experience in Hasidish circles as well, it's typically done this way, although I'm sure there are some Chassidish Shemayelim that do it like they do in Eretz Yisrael. And what's done is the following. A probe is inserted before the bris mila. Now, the probe is sort of a long, looks like a long needle, except it doesn't have a pin at the end. It has a little ball at the end, a needle without a sharp point, with a small ball at the edge. It's inserted through the nekev at the tip of the aver, so that it gets under. Now it doesn't go into the aver, chas v'shalom. It's the tip of the arla. The arla has a hole at the tip. Somebody who doesn't have bris milah also urinates. It comes out through the hole. This is inserted through the tip of the hole of the arla into the under the arapriya, and it's rotated to loosen the arapriya. The arapriya is tied around the aver, and this is done as a preparation to the bris. It's done this way. You will notice at a bris, the baby cries before the bris. The baby cries usually quite a bit earlier, because really this is the painful part, where this is stuck in, and depending on the sayyad, I had to compare it. I was in the hospital, I had intravenous. So some nurses, they put the intravenous in, bang, chick-chack, it's easy. And I once had to have my intravenous changed, and this elderly woman came in. She was like me, she had problems with her eyesight. So she was balancing her glasses and poking around. And I finally told her, I'd rather do it in the morning, because she's poking all over the place. I hate to say it, but it's the same thing with the Mayalim. Some have a gifted Sayyad, some are less. And it's painful for the child. They go in and they loosen the arapriya. Why are they doing this? Later, when they do the bris, their taifes, now to grab the arla and pull it up is easy, it's loose. What they do is they grab not only the arla, but the arapriya as well. And that needs a good fisa, a good umnis to grab. They pull the arapriya up, even though it's tight. They pull it up, insert the guard over the aver, but the arapriya is pulled up. And we do the cut, they cut the arla and priya at one time. They do mila v'priya bahadadi, or mila v'diya b'basachas. They cut it and remove it all at once. The arapriya being, it's tight, as soon as it's cut, it jumps back down. And presto, you remove the arla and you had the priya is done. The priya is pretty much done. Sometimes it's still a little stuck up. They use the nails to remove the little bit that remains. And that's it. And then the priya and the arla are done in one shot.
But the remaining part that's uncut, they just push it back. Okay.
The part that's uncut, they typically push back and leave it there. Right.
So they don't cut the arla at all then.
In the Eretz Yisrael, they do. They remove it. They with their nail, they cut it with their fingernail and remove it back.
The question is, if two mitzvahs are not?
No, it doesn't matter if it's one mitzvah or two. It matters if it needs two ma'isim or not. Or two ma'isim or not. Now this is the way it's done. What? I'm not sure as you're explaining. I know that if you don't loosen the arapriya and you pull the arla, you don't get the arapriya at all. You're just removing the arla and the arapriya remains there. That's why they have to loosen. Now, I want to tell you, some mayalim do it beforehand. They say, I want to look at the baby. They go into the office. They do it ahead of time. It's all part of the desire for it to be chick-chack. It's really more painful for the child to do it ahead of time and then bring the child up and sort of go through it again. Yeah. It's better to do it b'shas ma'isa. But this is typically the way it's done. Ramesha writes in his Tshuva on the topic, he's never seen that they get the whole arapriya in the cut. There was a little bit that remains and has to be dealt with either by folding back or in whatever manner the mayal is taught. What? That's a separate issue, which maybe we'll get to, okay? You know that when they do it to adults, they do numb it. An adult, there is, even though Rashi says there is. As a matter of fact, arapriya is niskasha, the way it's described. I'll get to it in a second. It's more complicated. Now,
do they cut any part of the arapriya?
I think they do. They rip it off. I think so, yes. I think so. The... Now, what is the? Let me tell you what the halacha controversy is, and every meal I've seen, they do them both. Rebelski does a small amount, and then you can see when Rebelski does it. The only time I've watched close up is when I was sounding. Rebelski is somewhere in between. He cuts off the tip of the Ara Priya, and then you can see he's ripping away the Ara Priya separately. But I don't know. I asked last night. I asked my father-in-law if by the Chassidim they do it like in Eretz Yisrael, like here. You know, the impression they do like in Eretz Yisrael. I told him that the Skveramayel, who's meal I've seen, does it like we do it here in America. So, you know, he told me he's not sure. I imagine in Satmar I saw they do like in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you know, they do everything in the closest to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But except when they daven mincha. But the I don't mean that. But was that okay? I'm saying a generalization. I'm not saying. Now, what is the lumdis behind the controversy? So as I said, there's a German pesik, and that's Aruch Laner, and it's Binyan Tzion, Tshuva Peches. He says that he doesn't understand. Every mitzvah we have has a tzuras ha-mitzvah. That's not described in detail. A tzuras ha-mitzvah means a certain way that a father does it, and his father, and his father. It's passed down in Klal Yisrael, the tzura of a mitzvah. The tzura of tefillin is not described in the Mishnayos or in the Gemara, even the Shulchan Aruch. There's a certain tzura to every mitzvah. You know, they are those who taina. They ask why the Mishnayos doesn't describe the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now, those who say that the Menorah is not a Mishnayos are mistaken. There are seven places in Mishnayos Ner Chanukah is mentioned incidentally. The most famous is in Bava Kamma, where it talks about the gomel that's loaded with material and it walks by a flame and it catches fire. So it says if it's in Ner Chanukah, it could be outside. If it's in there, so Ner, but the Ner Menorah is not described anywhere. You know, it's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So those who say that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was from the house of Mashiach ben David, Beis David, and the Chashmonaim took away the Malchus from Beis David, like the Rabbi says, so Rebbe got revenge, and he didn't describe Mitzvahs Menorah. That was not a last night. But that's not correct. No mitzvah is described. The mitzvah of tefillin is a menachis in the Gemara. There's no Mishnah that describes what tefillin looks like. Mishnah talks about the question, shaylus that have to do with the tefillin, with the menorah that come in derech agav. The tzura of a mitzvah is not described in Mishnayos anywhere. It's passed on from father to son. And there's not much. So what do we have about tefillin? We have a machlokes if Shayan Shoresh is two mitzvahs or Shayan Shoresh is one mitzvah. All right, so there's something to argue about. It's in the Mishnayos. But the tzura of a mitzvah is not described. So this is what Aruch Laner says. That the tzura is not described. So the tzura, the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and the Ram, that's the tzura, and that's dafka. That's dafka. That's the opinion of the Aruch Laner. Now the Aruch Laner himself concedes that there's an issue, because the mila of a ger, and this I've never seen, but an adult ara priya is kosher, can't be peeled away with a fingernail, and needs chituch, and needs being cut with a knife. And he concedes that there's no other way of doing it. That would seem to say that Al-Karkach Priya is one Priya, so Al-Karkach Priya doesn't need peeling with a fingernail. Yeah, 1 second. Doesn't need peeling with a fingernail. So therefore, the says, so that must be the Kabbalah. It's a Tzuras HaMitzvah. Tzuras HaMitzvah by a Tinnik is one way, and by a Ger is another way. That's all part of his Yisayid, that we have a Kabbalah, a Seder HaKabbalah. And the point is made that by Avraham Avinu, it says the opposite. Rashi says that by Avraham Avinu, the Mila was done, and the Priya happened by itself. It's a Nismaich, or Lasei, the whole foreskin area was Nismayach me tashmish, from a lifetime of tashmish, and therefore the Ara Priya just jumped back by itself, whatever that means. That they bring a raya that, not like Darach Lener, that it's not a chelik in a mitzvah. You see, if it jumps back, it's good. So they answer, it's not a raya, because Avraham was not mitzvah in Priya. Priya was mitzvah in the time of Yeshua, so it's not a raya. Be that as it may, that's not the point. The point is that the Aruch Lener holds the Tzuras HaMitzvah is the way it says, and you have to do the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. The newfangled ways of doing it are incorrect. The Maram Shik in Tshuva Reish Mem, and it's, as I said, interesting that one of the Gedolei Rabbanim in Ungarn should take the opposite position. He says, no, there's no Maisa Mitzvah of Priya. The result is the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of cutting the arla. And beyond that, the taitzah, the priya we do because you need a taitzah of gilui yarevim. And since you need a taitzah of gilui atorah, mainly you have to make sure the ara priya is not there. And therefore, the maram shik is the bar plukta of the arach lener. Rav Moshe, in his tshuva that sort of set the stage for meal in America, and Rav Moshe's influence on Psak Halacha in America is very profound, especially the tshuvas written in the 50s and 60s, when America had a time that there was one Pesach, and you had a Shaila, you went and asked him. And Rav Moshe said to do it, he brings that, the Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in the Siddur Yavitz describes the probe. He describes a machat oruch, a long needle that has a tip that's blunt, that's used in a bris milah. Rav Moshe doesn't bring the Maram Shik, he brings the Rav Yaakov Emdin, and he describes it. He says, as I mentioned earlier, that there's always some ora priya that has to be dealt with later. And he says, miyais taiv, you should leave a little bit for the tzipirin to fold back. And in that way, you're mekayim the whole mitzvah. And you do it this way. And as I said, in America, the milas that I've seen are pretty much that way. It requires a mile to have a good tfisa of the Ara Priya to be able to pull it up. Pulling up the Ara Arla is relatively easy. Pulling up the Ara Priya is more difficult, and that you do. Now, the Kasha was asked on Rav Moshe, he brings in Tshuva, that if that's true, on Shabbos, what's the hetter to do two cuts? What's the hetter to do it the old-fashioned way, to cut the erla, one chabura, and then rip the priya, a second chabura? You should be mechuyiv. If you could do it all with one maisa malacha, you should do one maisa malacha. And since Chazal described it the other way, it should be a raya, that you can't do it with one. They describe it with two, must be a need two. So in that, Rav Moshe writes, that's not a kasha. Mekomok and shneya mitzvah, they're both a mitzvah, they're both teches Shabbos. Now, mechuyev to do it in a way that it's one chituch. I'm not sure how that answers the question. Yours is not a kasha, but that's the dispute. Now, that dispute, as I said, is ad hayayim. It's a dispute that leads to the two ways to do a bris milah today. It's not a question of being ma'akev v'di'eved. If the ara priya is done, so the child's not a oral either way. But and if the arla is folded back, also it's good. Lamaisa, this is the controversy over how to do priya. And if you'll watch at a bris, if you have the stomach for it, you'll see. I mentioned to you, I read in Megid Giv Asylum that Reb Chaim Brisker was very squeamish for blood, very very squeamish. And then when he had a child and they had to do the bris, they were concerned that he would faint or something. So he was there and he seemed fine. And they mentioned to me afterwards, usually a squeamish of blood. So he said, yeah, I'm squeamish about blood. But a dvar mitzvah, that's not blood. That's something else, a different category. So, okay, anyway, this is my understanding of the Arha Mila and the Arha Priya. This is the way it's described in the Paiskim. Dr. Hamawi is invited to bring in next week some type of a clearer way of exhibiting this Metzias. Controversy number two is the Metzitza controversy. The Metzitza controversy is not new to our century. What's new is the desire of the government to intervene. But the Mitzitza controversy actually goes back a little over 200 years ago to the time of Chassam Sofer. The controversy, there are three parts, three points I'd like to make. The first is the learning point, and then to do with the recent controversy. So I'd like to talk first about the learning, the sugya of Mitzitza. The question is, Mila has, in Shulchan Aruch here says, Chitach Ha'arla, Priya, Mitzitza, and putting on a bandage. And you understand, putting on a bandage is not Ochir for Sinai. It's for the health of the child, you have to put on a bandage. So they used whatever medication they used. They used whatever medication we use, not kasha. It's not a difficulty. What about mitzitza? Is mitzitza a halacha? Or is mitzitza for the health of the child? So let's learn the sugis ha-gemara. The Mishnah says you need mila, priya, mitzitza. The gemara has three lines. A statement, a kasha, a teretz. And that's where the controversy begins, in the halachic aspect of the controversy. I'm not talking now about sakana and herpes. I'm talking about the halacha of mitzitza, the learning. Gemara says, Omer of Papa, this is in Shabbos Kuflam and Zayin. Omer of Papa, Hayumna deloy mayitz, sakana hu mavrinan lay. If you have a male that doesn't do mitzitza, he's endangering the life of the child. And we have to disqualify him from doing a bris milah. So that statement itself proves nothing. It proves it's a sakana. Does that mean we do it only because of sakana? Maybe not. Maybe it's a halacha. Halacha requires mitzitza. And it's also a sakana. It prevents danger to the child. Now, no one claims that that statement by itself is a proof of anything. And someone who does it is just fooling you. Because that statement, that if you don't do mitzitza, it's a sakana, that's true, but it doesn't prove that it's not a mitzvah. There's controversies over the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara then says, pshita, pashit, midaka mechalin alea shabata, sakana. And here's the question. Gemara says, it's obvious mitzitza must be a sakana. Since mechal shabbos, in order to do mitzitza, must be that it's a sakana. Now that seems to prove that mitzitza is only for sakana. You see, if you do mitzitza for two reasons, because halacha is shemesinai, and for health reasons, so what's the Gemara's kasha? Pshita, tzis mechal shabbos, must be it's a sakana. That doesn't prove it. Could be it's not a sakana. And mechal shabbos, because halacha is shemesinai, it's part of bris milah, and we all will mechal shabbos in the chitach and priya as well. So that Gemara's kasha seems to be a very strong raya that it's only for sakana, and therefore if you could alleviate the concern of sakana some other way, there should be no issue. That's the raya. The comeback to the raya is the Gemara's teretz. Why does the Gemara answer? Gemara's pshita. So the Gemara says no. Mao de tema, why would I have thought that there's no sakana? But the blood of the mitzitza blood is not a chabura, it's not melecha Shabbos. Dam mifkid pocket is an expression that the dam is not flowing blood. It's deposited blood. Kamash malon, that dam chabura mechmer, and it's a sakon. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, I would have a havamina that dam mifkid pocket. And it's not Chil Shabbos, Kamash Malon, and it's not a Sakana, Kamash Malon, it's Chil Shabbos, and it's a Sakana. So, the Mari Asad, Rabbi Yehuda Asad, from the Gedolim of that generation, says, what's the Havamina? The Havamina is, it's not Chil Shabbos, and it's not Sakana. What kind of Havamina? Havamina is not Sakana, it's not Chil Shabbos. Why are you doing it? If there's no danger, it's no mitzvah. And there's no danger. So what the Havamina is, there's no sakana. So why are we doing it? For what reason are you doing it? Just to waste your time? So he says, in the Gemara's teretz lies, it's implied that it's a mitzvah. Because there's a Havamina, that it's no sakana. And it's no Chil Shabbos, Kamash Malon, that's Chil Shabbos and it's sakana. what's the havamina? Why am I doing it? Must be there's some aspect of mitzvah in that havamina. That's the Mari Asad. Now, again, I'm just reading. I don't understand the raya. Could be it's not a sakana, but it's still healthy for the child. What's the difference? Let's say it's not a sakana. It just it makes it heal more quickly. So that maybe that's why we're doing it. Dami fukak. It's not chil Shabbos. I don't understand his proof from the Gemara's teretz. Right, that's my ha'or in learning it. But al kaponim, this led to this dispute.
You do that verse on Shabbos. You do it samach for the Shabbos, and then do the tzitzit after.
Yeah, but we know that we don't. Yeah, you're giving an
answer.
Yeah, that's taka nafkamina. The mitzitzah is the mitzvah. If you can do the bris on the eighth day and then do mitzitzah, let's say Matzah Shabbos or at night, it's part of the mitzvah. It should be done by then. Why am I very nice near sakana? Should be my very nice day without it.
Also my very nice.
Anyway, this is the Sugyas HaGemara and the Rayas from the Sugyas HaGemara. Basically, the argument, as I said, goes back, and the prime Raya that Mitzitzah is only for Sakana is a letter of the Chassam Sofer. Now, this letter of the Chassam Sofer is presented, anybody who presents a Shtikl Torah on the Mitzitzah controversy starts with Chassam Sofer's letter. The letter is not printed in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. Yeah, I saw it printed in Tzitz Eliezer and in Nishmas Avraham here on Simur Reis Samach Dalet. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a letter allowing Mitzitza Bisfug. Now, I'm not clear about how you create a suction with a sponge. Obviously, if you immerse a sponge in liquid and you squeeze it and open it, it's going to get full of water. I'm not sure the physical aspect of how you do Mitzitza Bisfug. But all right, well, we'll talk about it maybe afterwards. But he says the following: the Sofer is writing regarding a mayel, the Medina Rechaika, the Medina outside of the Sofer's Austro-Hungarian area, and this mayel had a contagious disease and could not do mitzitza bepeh. And the Sofer writes, and I'm quoting: "Ki lo nimtza mitzitza bepeh dafka ki im limekubalim." The idea that mitzisa has to be done orally with the mouth, he said, we find only in Sifrei Kabbalah. She'amru l'masei kadin al yedei peh v'sifosayim. Ve'en lanu esek v'nistarais hechadik l'mechel shel sakanta. We don't worry about Kabbalistic ideas in places of sakana. Ve'oir ani yomer. Afilu hayu mefurish b'shas mitzitz b'peh. Even the Gemara would say in Shas the language that mitzitza must be done with the mouth. Since it's done for health purposes, hamal uporo matas kevar gomer mitzvasai, vatinik muta betruma, va'aviv oisik harben pesach. Elu b'sakana tase puula lahitzi dam u'makayim esarachayik. So it should say Amol v'porak v'gamer mitzvasei, and the mitzvah is done. You're worried about sakana. Listen to his lashon. Afilo hayamuske b'mishna mitzitza b'peh yichaylu lahamir b'davaracha ki yaitzabai. He says you have to suck out blood, but even if the mishna would say mitzitza b'peh, you could do it with something else. And he compares it to the medications mentioned. This Polanis mentioned that today you don't have to use this Polanis. You can use any medication you want. This is pretty strong. Sofer is writing very, very clearly that the mitzitza doesn't have to be done bepeh, and he says there are Kabbalistic reasons to do it bepeh, but those Kabbalistic reasons don't override sakana considerations. What?
Even more surprising coming from
Sofer. Maybe more surprising from Sofer. Now, the response to this is that the Chassam Sofer wrote this in a Shas Hadchak. Now here I have to tell you, it disturbs me a little bit because I've seen the Shas Hadchak described in very extreme ways. What are the historical circumstances of the Chassam Sofer's letter? The way I've seen it described is that there was a danger that the government would outlaw Mila altogether, and therefore he was Baicha HaRabbi Miyutai, and he said to do it without Mitzitza. So that's the way it's described. Now, if you describe the story that way, so that's Taka very extreme, extremely, like an outlaw Mitzitza, it's very extreme. However, the Maram Shik, who's the Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, has a tshuva. You can look it up. It's the Arachayim Kufnun Beis, and he describes the Shas HaDchak much differently. And I'm quoting his lashon. He says, "Ma'isa shahaya kachaya, b'mumcha gadol, v'uhaya hamaya larisha sheneschazik b'medinasai." Says there was an expert mayel, and he was then the first mayel in his medina that was given permission to do bris mila. He had a contagious disease that would certainly do injury. It was difficult to tell that Moyel he can't do bris mila. And that was the Shas HaDchak. It's also a Shas HaDchak, not the same Shas HaDchak as saying that they would forbid it in the whole Medina. But the Maram Shik writes, and he was a Talmud, he says, you see, when the some Seifer's Tshuvas were printed, this Tshuva was not printed. Some Seifer's Tshuvas were printed posthumously, and they didn't include this letter in the Tshuva some Seifer. And Vaistais, it was only written Mishas HaDchak. So this is the opinion of the Maram Shik. There are names on either side of the issue. I should mention that the Netziv in Meshev Davar Chelek Beis Tshuva Memhei holds that mitzitza does not have to be done b'peh, after mitzitza, but it doesn't have to be done with directly with the mouth. I believe Rabbi Yashiv in the Kovitz Chuvis also holds that it doesn't have to be done with the mouth directly to the mila. Now the alternatives I want to discuss with you separately, but in the lumdus of the sugya, the argument, yes. What? So to not do a bichlal, all these paiskim say you have to do something.
Yeah.
The question is, has to be done with a direct... the tube. So I'm going to discuss the tube in a minute. But first, again, the lumnus first, before I get to the tube issue. Those who say to do it have three arguments. There are those who say it's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is mitzitza b'peh, it's a tzuras ha-mitzvah, and that the Maram Shik and Avni Nezer writes, Halacha Mishum Sinai, has to be done directly b'peh. They have no earlier source for it, except that, like we said earlier, like the Aruch Haner said, you know, this is the way it's been handed down, midor adar. Second argument is, Kabbalah. We do things mitame Kabbalah. Some Sefer writes that there are tame Kabbalah to do it. So here you had a Uman, who the language was, that he was a mayol, hayolai chayli hamizdabek bevadai. So, it's one thing. But they're Tamei Kabbalah. We do a lot of things based on Tamei Kabbalah. And the third argument is, even if you say it's not the mitzvah, and you say it's not a Kabbalah, you don't have to do Kabbalah, we have this understanding that it's a sakana if you don't draw blood. So even though medicine today doesn't recognize that, nevertheless, we have this yisayid, that drawing blood, if you don't do it, it's a sakana, so we have to do it because of sakana. So there are three arguments, mitzvah, kabbalah, or medical reasons, which today science has not been aimed on. I believe that in the Stechemed, there's a kuntris on the tzitza. He writes in the introduction that as he set out to write the kuntris, he was convinced you don't have to do mitzitza b'peh. And then the more he went into the sugya, the more he feels that it should be done dafka mitzitza b'peh. That's his opinion. There are others that the Ktzai Sachayshin holds that it doesn't have to be done directly b'peh. The Hartzvi, I believe, has a tshuva. It's not so conclusive the way it's printed, but he also seems to lean in that direction. And it goes without saying there are many who hold that it has to be done b'peh b'roisham, the Maram Shik and the Avnei Nezah.
What did you pass from the Shulchan Aruch? It's Kadesh v'yavu v'nechah v'kar.
The Shulchan Aruch says Kadesh Shalayav Lidei Sakana. So the question is, why Bipesh Shalayav Lidei Sakana? So either...
It's not mitzvah.
Okay. I mean, when it says Deshlavi Deshakana, does it mean exclusively Yishot shouldn't come to Deshakana, or is that an added reason? Is that a reason for the Lachash of Sinai? This is the controversy.
Is there enough reason to use another moil because it's not going to do the pair?
It depends. There are different in Klal Yisrael. There are different groups in Klal Yisrael.
And then you ask him, "You're going to do the pair." He says, "No." Can you go somewhere else?
So let me go. I want to go Lam. Just let me go in order. We'll get to Lamais at the end, okay? Because it's going to confuse the whole thing.
What factor now? Minhag Avasenu that. If it's not a mitzvah,
it's a minhag, then for danger we would pass on it. You know, we wouldn't eat gefilte fish Friday night. If it's like gefilte fish Friday night, or like if it's mitzvah that says a minhag shulchan aruch for us is a mitzvah, right? Minhag is saying it says a shulchan aruch is a mitzvah.
But shmur matzah for not shmur matzah, you know, not eating
gebrak. Yeah, if it was sakana, we would eat gebrak. Somebody's a chayla can eat gebrak. Well, that's the question right now is if it's a sakana, what's the deal? I said I want to learn the lamdis and get to the lamdis. Now, my first point is this point. My point is that while for all my children, my grandchildren, we do mitzitza b'peh, the way it's always been done, but if somebody wants to do a shaloi b'peh, he has on who to rely. As long as you have to do some sort of mitzitza. But the mitzitza should be done, and we'll get to the facts of the danger of Bisman Hazeh shortly, but it's a deraisa. The feeling is always, when you talk about a deraisa, you have to be able to call hashitas. Deraisas, we don't play around with. To go out to Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon, he said, mechad this shita, say mechad that shita. That's my feeling. But anyway, there are place game on both sides of the equation. Whatever a person does. The second point I want to make is the following, and that is the use of a tube. The use of a tube today, the way Ma'ilim do it, is a fraud perpetrated on the tzibur. It's an absolute fraud. The tubes that they use today do not create a suction at all. They don't draw blood, not m'makaymas arachaykim and not m'makaymas akraivim. It's a fraud. In his article, Rabbi Halpern writes, in Eitzav, doing it with a tube, which is designed to fit the aver tightly, which is made, in other words, the mayel should come with a set of tubes and choose the one that fits the arla tightly. The ones who take this glass tube and do it. There's one mayel who uses a tube most of the time. And I went out to the Five Towns to a bris of a young man who had been in my shir, and he was there. And he said the mayel gave him a choice. The mayel said, I prefer to do it with a tube. If you insist I do a bepeh, I'll do a bepeh. So he came over to me. I said, I was a sandik there. So I said to him, he can use a tube, but I have to see that blood comes out with the tube. That there's a suction created. And I don't mind if he uses a tube. That's mitzitza bepeh. Fine. So he didn't use a tube when I told him that. He didn't use a tube. Because when you use a tube, you get some blood, but if you touch your finger to a bloody area, you also get blood on your finger. In the tube, you'll go to somebody who uses a tube. I have not seen blood up the tube. At the tip of the tube, where it touches the dam, is one thing.
I have seen where it has been sealed for the tube.
So maybe there are some who do it. The ones who use the round glass, one size fit all tube, that the ones I've seen, no blood is drawn up into the tube. Again, if there's such a thing, it's fine. I'm just telling you the ones that I've seen. The ones I've seen don't have blood by the top. What? I can't tell you. I have no idea. I don't understand. I'm telling you what I see with my eyes. Now, you're telling me there are some ma'ilim who use tubes with filters. I've seen tubes. I've never seen a tube with a filter. The ma'il's not afraid he'll get blood in his mouth. It doesn't go anywhere near his mouth. The ones I've seen. What? Yeah. If he created a suction, I have no problem. I'm just saying the ones I've seen, I never saw Rabbi Peretzinski's meal. But there's ones I've seen, I don't see it. They suck on the tube. It looks like they're sucking on the tube. You know, if they were really thought they'd be drawing the blood, they would have to have a filter, the blood shouldn't get into their mouth. But when they suck it directly, of course they get blood in their mouth. When they use a tube, go look at the tube. I've never seen blood all the way up the tube. Never. I've never seen it halfway up the tube. The times I've watched them use it too. There's blood around the tip and a little bit up into it. Not even halfway up. Did you ever look at it?
It's higher though. It does go up.
How much higher does it go up? So we have to try pressing a tube against the womb without suction and seeing how high it goes. It just doesn't seem to be what's the lashon here? Maitzitz hadam, achiyetzi hadam, and mekayimis arachaykin. It doesn't seem that they're mekayim this. Now it could be they're going with the shittas. You don't need mitzitz at all. But to say they're doing mitzitz, just do with a tube, it's misleading. If you want to say you hold, you don't need mitzitz. Okay, you know, so go with such a shittah. But the pretending. It depends on the smachlaikis. If mitzitz is part of the mitzvah, well, not? There are many paiskim all that's not part of the mitzvah, and you know, if it sucks blood, mamakaymes arachaykim, that creates a suction from mamakaymes arachaykim. Oh, that he sucks on the gauze. Yeah, well, if it creates a suction. If it creates a suction, then you're doing it. If not, call a spade a spade. If you want to say, we want to rely on the Ktsais and the Meshav Dover and the Sam Saifi, that you don't need Mitzitza, say so. But don't pretend to use a tube if it's just pretending. It seems to be incorrect. There's an interesting digduk part to this. The Binyan Tzion, again, the Binyan Tzion requires Mitzitza B'peh. Again, in Germany, he requires mitzitza b'peh. He says the following, very interesting. Some Seif in his letter writes, mitzitza doesn't have to be b'peh, it's a pasik. V'nimtza doma yalkira mizbeach. You get the blood out of the bird, after malika, by pressing it against the edge of mizbeach, and you get the blood out. You see, mitzitza doesn't have to be b'peh, it could be b'dechika, by pressing. So you press on the cut, and you get it out. That's also... What? That's what some Sefer writes. On that, Doruch HaNer writes, if the some Sefer would be alive, I would sit on the floor in front of him, he writes in humility, I would be down the fun of that he made a mistake in Taich. The Shirish Mem Vav Tzadik Moitz is to squeeze. The Shirish Motzatz Tzadik Tzadik, a double Tzadik, is dafka kayachinika, dafka through sucking. Like a child is mitzate, so you mitzate an orange, you suck out the orange. And he says he made a mistake in taich. V'nimtza dama yalkira mizbeach is not motzatz. Very interesting aspect of the machlaikis. It's interesting, Daruch HaNer is also, and Daruch HaShulchan, who typically is a makel in these type of things, Daruch HaShulchan here in Sivkot Yotes is also machmir. He says, b'pev alay b'spug. I think if you had a tube that truly created a suction, I think almost everybody would agree that it's adequate. You're sucking, you're doing it, and you're doing it. I think more or less everyone would agree.
Done?
But
Rabbi, why isn't it done?
Because it's hard to get a tube and create a suction. It's not easy. It's physically difficult.
Right now, everybody's worried about the mold contaminating the baby. 30 years ago, when AIDS came out, so the mole was afraid that...
The baby would contaminate him?
Right, so what was done then?
You know, where I went, they did mitzitza b'peh. Until the last decade, every meal I saw was mitzitza b'peh. Rav Pertinsky didn't do it, but then what I saw was all mitzitza b'peh in my circles. And
the rabbis are into it.
What? I mean, I had children. I did bris milas in the 80s and the 90s. Every child, there was nobody asked me, do you want mitzitza b'peh? Mitzitza was always done b'peh. So it changed now because of the controversy. It changed. And there were circles that didn't do mitzitza b'peh then, but in my circles, they did mitzitza b'peh. Right. He says b'svuv. Yeah, no one, the chassid is not saying you don't need mitzitza, but he... No, those who say that it's only for health reasons, which is, he says, lo mitzitza b'peh lo mekubalim. So that's the lashon of some cipher.
They don't say don't do it; they say don't do b'peh.
Okay.
I
mean, his lashon is lo nimtza mitzitza b'peh dafka kiim lo mekubalim. You mean so you have to draw out something?
No one says don't do it at all.
Lashon Sefer is Kivan she'ein ze hechsher hamila elo mishum sakana. He seems to say that it's only mishum sakana. You have to do it because of sakana. But okay, so number one is the sugya. Number two is my horror on the on using a tube. It's got to be done right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm only quoting. I don't know anything about Taich. Okay. You know, the Lamaisa, the Mishnah calls it a tzitza. It's Aramaic, maybe, Mayans. If we're certain it's a sakana, then we wouldn't be allowed to do it. Right, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the third thing I wanted to talk about is the studies that talk about the herpes danger. Now I have here, thanks to Dr. Babich, many articles were written on it. This is from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. So I suppose that it's the most authoritative or most researched. Basically, the current controversy revolves around the following. From November 2000 to December 2011, that's 11 years, a total of 11 newborn males, 11 over 11 years, that's one a year, developed laboratory confirmed HSV infection. So there were roughly one a year. Now the question is, how frequent is that? They have here the babies who run at bris mila also contract herpes, although in a much smaller, they contract it from caregivers, from nurses, from people who are with them. And they write here that they have statistics for non-bris mila, which they put, I think, at 1 in 100,000, that develop it from other caregivers. As a matter of fact, one of the complaints is that when they investigated here in New York, they tested the male, if he was a carrier, but they refused to test the nurse that cared for the children to see if she was a carrier as well, which was one of the complaints that it was a biased investigation. But putting that aside for a moment, they're dealing with 11 and dealing with statistics. Now, first thing is the number 11 is flawed because two of the 11 were twins who obviously got it from one place, either both from the male or both from someone else. Statistically, it's a little unfair to call it 11 incidents of catching. It's really 10 rather than 11 because also of the 11, one did not require hospitalization. Apparently was a relatively mild form of whatever it was, and also a question as to whether it should be included in the statistics. Now, how are they going to figure out...
This is after Bismillah, right?
I think, from 5 to 50 days after birth. In other words... Let me just finish. How did they develop statistics? I want to just present to you the complaints about this. How do you develop statistics? How do you know if other children get it 1 in 100,000? And here we had one a year, let's say, for 11 years. So how many bris milas, how many babies are we talking about that had oral bris mila? So how did the CDC go about getting its numbers? So what it did is the following. It took, Marvin Schick does every 5 years for the Avi Yichai Foundation, a survey of Jewish schools. Siddur schools, day schools, yeshiva schools, the number of students is something fascinating to read. And he's been doing it, he just put out his most recent one. And he has a survey of how many students there are. And they use that, and they did the following. This is where it's obviously flawed. I'll explain. What they did is they took an assumption. The assumption was made that 100% of males entering Hasidic schools and 50% of those entering yeshiva schools would have had mitzitza b'peh. And 0% of those in the modern schools. So that's the base of how many children have mitzitza b'peh. From that, you have one a year that's getting... Now, the numbers are not true. In the yeshiva circles, before the controversy, it's not true 50% have mitzitza b'peh. It was, I'm saying, but this study, This study from the year 2011, every in the yeshiva circle, 90% have a tzitzit bepeh. 95%. And in modern Orthodox circles, 10%, 20% still have a tzitzit bepeh. 30%, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but they used myelim that were charedi myelim, many of them. So the numbers are flawed. Now, there is an editorial note on the study. The editorial note recognizes this is not written by a Haredi. This is written by, after the report, it's followed by an editorial note. And it says the following. The finding of these reports are subject to at least one limitation. Although this report is the first to quantify the risk associated with the practice of direct orogenital suction during Jewish ritual circumcision, the relative risk depends on assumptions used to estimate the number of male infants who undergo circumcision with direct orogenital suction. These assumptions might not be valid, for example, because not all the cases were in ultra-Orthodox Jewish families. Those, even the 11 cases, some of them were in modern Orthodox families. So estimates of the exposed population might be underestimated. So it should be obviously be underestimated. How can you take somebody not from the group, you're taking students, 100% Hasidic, 50% Yeshivish, and you're including those who caught it, somebody who's outside this control group, you're taking someone from a modern Orthodox circle who got herpes and including it in the number. It points... Okay, so it points to a flaw, at least in the study. What? The number they came to is 1 in 4,098. Or 3.4 times greater than the risk among regular male infants. Because the risk is 3.5 times greater. Now, if their pool is half of what it should be, I don't know if it is. If it's half what it should be, then it's 1.7 times greater instead of 3.4 times greater. So I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I would tend to think that it makes sense. You ask anybody who goes to medical school, you talk about putting your mouth to an open wound, you know, what? It's not what they teach you in medical school. I'm not recommending putting your mouth to an open wound. But we've been doing mitzitza for centuries without a serious problem, a health issue as a result of it. And therefore, this question is a very... the study is at least flawed. Using two twins as two instead of one is a flaw. Estimation of total students is a flaw. Counting somebody who's not from this population into the statistics is a flaw. That doesn't mean that there's no risk. It just means that the risk is an overstated risk. That's all. What? Okay, so you have to understand most people are carriers for herpes. As a matter of fact, most people carry herpes. People think herpes is only menuvalim or it's just a znus. It's not true. A majority of people are carriers for oral herpes. So the most people are a carrier of one type or another. If it's not shedding, if it's not active infection, it's not an issue. Okay, so I can't. So I mean, have every male go for a test every week, and okay. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. The person doesn't necessarily know. First of all, every time you have a sore in your mouth, you know if it's herpes or not.
And
if you don't do it, okay. But it doesn't seem you have to have a sore to shed the... How much of a risk do you need to determine sakana? The question is a good question. I'm not sure. A risk in halacha never has a number pegged to it, but it seems the risk in halacha, the level of danger, it seems from the examples of Chazal, is even a minimal danger being a danger. Question is here. What?
Even
Suffolk, even Harbisvik is right. At any rate, these are the 3 points. I'm not telling you what to do. Whatever you do is good. I personally urge people to do a mitzitza bepeh, at least following the guidelines. There's no question that the guidelines are followed. If somebody says that his father doesn't want mitzitza bepeh, I'll do mitzitza bepeh. You know, it's not, there are places to rely on to do it. I just wish they would create a proper tube to do a proper mitzitza bepeh without exposing this level of danger. If they would have such a tube, I think everybody would rally behind it. But it seems from what Rabbi Halper writes, there's no one size fits all in this type of thing. So you have to go with the set and you pick out the one that fits. It's just a matter of getting people used to it and getting people used to doing it that way.
Is it possible to squeeze out the block? Remember
Kaibis Arachaikim? Anyway, this is the issue. Nahara Naru Pashte, as I said, there are many Paiskim on both sides of it. The third controversy we didn't get to yet, so that will do a Mitzvah Shem. A prayer for Chanukah to all.